Hello and welcome to the Loose Heads podcast. Brilliant to have this introduced for the first time ever. This is an association with Talking Rugby Union, and I'm glad to say on the line remotely in self-isolation, we have the three founders of Loose Heads, Mark, Dave and Rob. How are you doing, guys? You all right?
Very well, thanks. Chris?
Well, obviously, it's been a tough time, so apologies for sound issues if we're going to have any in this podcast, because we are sat in our homes, rooms locked, windows shut. So we thought this might be a really good time to introduce the podcast, because the rugby has stopped for the foreseeable future. Obviously, the season was suspended on Friday. So we're trying to give some rugby fans something to listen to during this unprecedented time. But also, we know right now it's a really important time for mental health, and mental health issues are in the spotlight once again. And Loose Heads is a fantastic foundation which matches both rugby and mental health together. So first of all, Mark, obviously we did a podcast last summer sort of introducing Loose Heads, but if you can give the listeners a bit of a refresh, I mean, why did you guys first come up with the idea of Loose Heads?
Well, probably take us back to May 2017. I'd just played my last game of rugby ever. I used to think I could influence a game on the pitch. A dawning realisation I hadn't influenced any game for the last decade. And I needed to go and burn my boots. And I'd had a lovely, wondrous journey through rugby's meandering path. And I didn't want to leave it all behind. So I press gang Dave and Rob into helping me. It was just an idea at that time. As I surveyed my home rugby club at Winslow's first team pitch and just remembered all the lads that I'd met who'd had a bit more of a wobble in life than just, I was having a crap time. They'd had what I probably look back now and think that they'd had close to, if not an actual diagnosable mental health issue. So I always wanted to keep involved in the game that's given me everything. A girlfriend, a wife, same person, three kids, all centred around rugby. And that was the germ of the idea. Splendidly, Dave and Rob grabbed that idea by the lapels and shook it up and made it progressively into the thing it is today, which is a labour of love, largely. It's a business on one hand, and it's a very successful business, and I can't thank the people who dive in and support us in that business enough. And then on the other hand, it's a foundation. We have huge, huge charitable intents. And we've made it as much about rugby as we've made it about mental health. If I'm being very honest, I couldn't dream of having two better partners to do it with. Rob and Dave are the absolute lifeblood of this business.
Yeah, and do you echo that sort of sentiment, Dave, about, you know, the love of the game, but also you wanted to sort of give a helping hand back to the game?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's one of those things where kind of myself and people around me always absolutely loved the game, but equally I've known quite a few people who have had that little wobble in life and not always been sort of where they wanted to be mentally. So kind of for me, it was a great opportunity to take two things, you know, something I was really passionate about, something that meant a lot to me, try and turn it into something really positive, really. And kind of, I think we always loved that contrast with rugby, that you have these people who go out onto the field every week and battle physically, you know, almost kind of trying to hide these physical pains as they go through a game, but then off the field, showing that kind of sort of softer side, struggles they might be having, you know, that contrast to me is sort of why we do it and why we think rugby is so important to what we do.
Yeah, definitely, Dave. And for you, Rob, obviously, it's from outsiders looking in, it might be easy to suggest that because your dad was involved with it, you sort of felt the need to get involved as well. But after speaking to your dad, it's the complete opposite. You were as passionate as your dad and Dave about this.
Yeah, when we initially had the chat, we sort of all agreed that we'd had those mates that had had what we say is probably a bit more than a life wobble, and we all sort of felt poorly qualified. And we always say that, you know, we asked them if they wanted another beer, and that might you know, help in the short term, but not in the long term. So we didn't feel like we could do anything positive for our mates. So that impotence sort of drove us to form Looseheads. And yeah, the reason we use rugby, it's our passion. It's the sport we love. And if you can get, you know, big boys coming out and saying it's okay not to be okay, then that really is a powerful message.
Yeah, and just to for the listeners as well, Rob, what's sort of your role within Looseheads?
Yeah, so I look after stuff that we do with the ambassadors. So anything that we do through our ambassadors sort of goes through me. So I keep in regular contact with them. And to be honest, without the support of all of those guys and girls, we wouldn't be able to, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today. Get involved with some of the events that we do as well. So we've supported a few events and, you know, we're looking to get involved in more events and as we grow. But yeah, look after, you know, we've got 20 ambassadors now. So some of the big names, we've got Brad Shields, Gareth Anscombe, Denny Solomona, DTH van der Merwe. We've obviously got Sean Edwards as our patron as well. So yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely get onto those ambassadors later on in the pod, Rob. And Mark, you've mentioned before that Rob and Dave have tried to stay clear of social media and all that kind of things. What's your role in Looseheads? And I know we've discussed it before, but I'm sure everyone else will want to hear it again.
Yeah, they've done quite a successful job keeping me off Instagram. They also set up their own secret WhatsApp groups to keep me away from any planning, which is probably the right thing to do. But yeah, when we it was probably mid last year when, you know, we've been figuring this thing out for 2 years. We're not clinically trained. We don't know. We're not psychologists. We're good Samaritans. We're not bad Samaritans, and that'll drive us on. But probably therefore for 2 years we made lots of, I wouldn't say mistakes. We just ran up a few blind alleys, and then last year. Led by a comment Dave made about, you know, we're going to either take this business seriously or it's just going to wither on the vine. We decided to treat it like a business, like every business. And indeed, both Dave and Rob and myself, we all have day jobs. This is a labour of love. We do it outside of that. So we decided to just dive straight headlong into accountabilities. I'm quite big on accountabilities, always have through my career. It's a bit like responsibilities on Red Bull, in that you make somebody accountable and they own it, and nobody ever washed a hire car. So if you make somebody accountable for it, then they're going to own it and they're going to see it right through to the end, and they're going to make the hard, tough decisions. Dave needs no second invitation to that accountability world. And what I've been wonderfully, not surprised, and not shocked, but just wonderfully impressed by it, is the way that Rob's taken control of the ambassadorial links. We've got a reach through Dave and Rob's efforts of approaching 10,000 people on Instagram and 16,000 on Facebook and a couple of thousand on Twitter. But if you think we've asked 30 people, men and women, rugby players the world over, to join our crusade, and they've gladly joined in, and we have the amplification of having their following. That's quite humbling from a gnarled, old, broken-nosed number 7/ accountant like me to actually see a business form out of just passion is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I go on record every time I say it, but I reckon Dave would support me in this. Had it not been for Rob, we wouldn't just maybe have given up, we probably would have given up. Is that fair, Dave?
Oh yeah, I think we were on the verge of calling it quits after, what, 18, 20 months of frankly dicking around and not really getting anywhere.
I was trying to be polite about the conversation.
You know, I will always put my foot in it and say it as I see it. But yeah, frankly, without Rob kind of just cajoling us and giving us that little bit of encouragement and frankly doing something whilst we weren't, yeah, we probably would have thrown the towel in before we really got going.
It helped not having a job at that point, I guess.
Yeah. Unemployment is the mother of all necessity.
Yeah.
And Dave, just in terms of your role, you know, the final piece of the jigsaw, if you like, what do you do in terms of telling the listeners?
So you probably consider me jack of all trade, master of none. It's very much
agree with that, Robert Mark.
No, master of many, master of all of them, actually.
It's a case of doing whatever needs doing, really, particularly when it comes to anything online. So I sort of fumbled my way through building the website in the first instance. I'll bore Mark and Rob again with the tale of we launched the website a week before I got married last year. And the original plan was we'd do a little bit of testing, place a few test orders between us and see what happened. Within about 20 minutes of actually launching the website, my phone started bleeping. Somebody had placed an order and I had absolutely no idea where the money had gone. So cue 20 minutes of stressing, trying to call Mark to check the bank account to make sure that we hadn't just lost someone's money. But fortunately, it all kind of came together. So I'm kind of responsible for that side of things with the website, bit of marketing, supporting Rob with some of the events and things like that. Just whatever needs doing, really.
Yeah, because obviously you're probably used to that system now, Dave, because we're, you know, just under 3 years since you guys launched, and Mark was telling me the other day where we met that, you know, the merchandise sales you're getting have been through the roof over the last sort of 18 months or so.
Yeah, no, we've seen sort of really nice growth. It's kind of started fairly slow and steady, and then particularly post-Christmas, it's just absolutely skyrocketed, I think, particularly on the back of things like having a few guys, so like Gareth Anscombe was on the rugby pod. We had, obviously, the Brad Shields beard shave. And just generally, I think people are becoming more and more aware of what it is we do. And I think, frankly, we've got a bit better at what we do as well, understanding what our customers want, launched sort of a few new product ranges, which seem to have really helped. For example, we launched our women's range in January, which has been absolutely huge for us. So, yeah, it's just been growing nice and steadily.
Yeah,
one thing I would add, Chris, is throughout my life, my career, and in terms of my rugby career, I've been privileged to be part of some very high performing teams. In terms of rugby, I've been disgusted to be part of some bloody awful teams. But I know, sort of, at 53 years old, what good and bad looks like. And what's been deeply humbling for me, and I'll say it again, is the fact that there's just three of us. The output makes it look like there's 25 of us. And that's testament to Rob and Dave. And I field things at the backstop. I look after the business side of it, and help looking after the relationship we have with team mental health, which is our mental health backbone. But I know that through the passion and enthusiasm, which in life you can just go a long way on that alone, that Dave and Rob have every day for this, that this business, the tribe we've given birth to, the cause that we don't own, we just give a platform for, will go and go and go. And we have become quite a high performing team in our own right. And I think that comes from, without boring you, that comes from accountability and saying what we're going to do and doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Because I was going to say, Rob, you know, we've had a couple of chats when we've been out having a drink in Old Liege about sort of the success you guys have had. Does that sort of drive you on? Because you can look at, you know, the events like the Brad Shields stuff and the amount, the really good ambassador you guys have got, and think, well, that's a job done. Look at the names you've got. But that, does the success and what you've created over sort of the last 18 months especially drive you on to say, well, let's get more people involved?
Yeah, you just look at the journey that we've been on in the last, well, 3 years, but then you have a look at the past sort of 6 months. And yeah, like you say, it just drives us on to do even more. And, you know, the people who have, you know, Brad Shields has come to us, for example, and said he wants to shave his beard off and help us out. You know, Gareth Anscombe came to us, Alex Lewington came to us, Amber Reid. So, you know, you've got these international rugby players who are, you know, coming to us and wanting to sort of join our you know, join us really in what we do. And keep spreading that spreading that message, that really important message.
Yeah, definitely, Robert. Mark, you mentioned just before about team mental health, about being a backbone of what you guys do. I mean, just tell us about the role they have, because they're a massive sort of support to you guys, aren't they?
Yeah, well, quite early on in this journey, I realised I hadn't got a clue what I was talking about. I'm quite comfortable in that zone in life. And I saw on Eventbrite, Team Mental Health doing a free turn up and listen to a mental health training session. So I signed up and went along and was blown away by the alacrity and the common sense they spoke, both Sheila and Libby, two former consultants and psychologists who've given it up because they see a better service running this as a business rather than doing it through the NHS. They're not, and I'm not, criticising the NHS and would never, but the NHS does need support. And that mental health element, because probably none of us really understand it, you know, you break your ankle, you break your leg, it's fairly obvious you need to go to hospital and get it sorted, and then there's an army of physios that come in. Diagnosing a mental health issue is a big thing, and I felt very uncomfortable. I knew it was the right thing to do. I think we all shared that, but I had absolutely no idea how to do it. So I went to see Team Mental Health after I'd seen them in action, and we formed a very strong partnership with them. And every mental health message we give now is given or founded or at least very much discussed by and with Team Mental Health. Can't afford to get it wrong. One of the things we've often said is, our raison d'etre is to stop that unfortunate person who's reached the end of their road and wants to go to the euphemistic suspension bridge and end it all. And if we can save one person, then we've kind of won. We'll never know that we've ever done that, so we carry on. But by having Team Mental Health behind us and with us and next to us, allows us to do that properly. That makes a bit more sense. We couldn't do it without them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely understand, Mark. And Dave, you know, you've got those guys there who are giving you that knowledge, but from a rugby perspective, you know, you're really passionate about the game yourself, Dave. So do you feel that the clubs can now sort of help with that, and sort of with loose heads they can understand it better themselves?
Yeah, very much so. And kind of we've started looking at a few routes to get into those clubs a bit more. So we introduced the partnership program a while back, where basically clubs can come to us. Firstly, they'll get access to events, exclusive content and that side of things. But they will also get kind of basically a kickback from any sales. So they'll have a discount code to give to their players, and they'll receive a percentage of those sales. Our view being that rugby clubs treat your mental health in a way. It's a place where you go and meet your mates, you do physical exercise. So it's giving something back to that side of things. We've also launched the Loose Heads Academy, which is sort of very similar to what our ambassadors do, but more at kind of an amateur club level. And that's been sort of a great help in getting into these clubs a bit more. We're looking at kind of getting a lot of content in there, so posters with sort of key messages and things like that. And sort of obviously once the current COVID-19 issues have hopefully disappeared, we'll be looking at hosting events and things like that with local clubs as well.
Yeah, I mean, Dave makes a good point there, Mark, actually. You know, he makes sense. You know, you're going to play rugby with your mates. You know, and you want, whatever happens, whatever you want to discuss with them, they're your friends at the end of the day. So is that sort of really positive that, you know, if you are struggling, that you can use, you know, rugby and your teammates as, you know, a place where you can open up these issues where you might think you might not have been able to do
it? I think things have changed the last three to five years. Things have massively changed. I'm considerably older than all three of you added together. But I have absolutely no doubt that going to the rugby club from the age of probably 13 or 14, playing all through university, playing all through my 20s, 30s, 40s, and the odd game in my 50s. that discipline of Saturday afternoon, half past four, somebody comes up to you with a pen and a screwed up envelope, and they say to you, are you fit for Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday? and give me £5 for your subs. And that, for 30 years, treated my mental health. This has to be, this community we have at our rugby clubs has to be the thing that treats our mental health, because we're all in it together. One of the things that we all say, Rob, Dave and me, we find ourselves saying it to each other, is that nobody gets left behind, and nobody should get left behind. It's more serious than that. And I, you know, I'm not proud enough to be able to say it never affected me. There were times when I just turned up and played through the motions. You have a shit day at work, a shit week, a shit month, a shit 6 months. And suddenly you look back and you think, have I actually played rugby? And you can't remember much about it. But those lads who relied on you, bought you a pint, you didn't really share what was going on. They were your props, not tight heads and loose heads. They were propping you up through your bad times in your life, and that absolutely happened to me. Absolutely. How pathetic is it me to suggest that that never happened to me? And of course it did, and it happened to all of us. And you know what? If all I do is put something back into the game that's given me everything, then that's not a bad equation.
Yeah, most definitely. Couldn't agree more with that, Mark. And Rob, obviously, we've all grown up in this sort of era of social media, and we've seen how well you guys use it. I mean, Dave touched on the Loose Heads Academy, which is we've seen over the weekend, and sort of the challenges that have been happening. But it can have both positive and negative effects, especially on the mental health in rugby, Rob, can't it? So how important is it for you guys to use social media in such a positive light in the way you do?
Yeah, obviously it's huge, you know, nowadays, social media. You know, most of what we do and all of our messages go through social media, and that's how we sort of communicate to our followers and our fans and you know, the people that we work with. So, you know, it's great for us. We obviously see the bad sides of it too, but, highlight the good sides of it. You know, we speak to most of our ambassadors have come through, you know, them following us on Instagram, and you know, most of the messages that we push through them, you know, these guys have got hundreds of people who look up to them. So if we can use that as a way to sort of promote mental health, then you know, so be it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw obviously recently Danny Cipriani the other week talked about how, you know, obviously the influence of Caroline Flack, and he actually used social media as a major platform to break down the barrier he probably was feeling to say that he's been struggling. And this is a player who has been one of the stars of the game, and, you know, shows up on a Friday night at King's Home and performs absolute magic. So it can be used in a positive light, but it's all about breaking that first barrier down, and that's how important this social media is, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, oh, completely. You know, there's no way we would have reached the number of people we have today without the help of it. And like you say, sort of guys like Danny Cipriani getting out there. Obviously, you had Kieran Mayall a little while back. You know, all these people speaking up about it and having sort of that reach across socials really helped to amplify it. But equally, you know, you go back to the BBC Rugby Union podcast a few weeks back, where, you know, you had guys like Hugo Monnier and Danny Kerr talking about the negative impact of social media, how we probably need to be a bit more aware of how we speak to players on the platform. You know, it's very much a privilege that we get to follow these guys, see what they're up to and talk directly to them. But it needs to be in sort of a respectful and understanding manner, because ultimately there's a human being at the end of that phone or computer and seeing these messages.
Yeah, absolutely, David. You mentioned the BBC Rugby Union Weekly podcast, and you guys were definitely mentioned by Danny Kerr, and he's obviously someone who's followed your work quite closely, Rob. And I know you've got a whole host of ambassadors. So how did you sort of start off that sort of list of ambassadors you've got? Because it's ever-growing at the moment.
Yeah. So it started off with obviously Sam James, who you know and I know very well because we went to school with him. But, you know, we sat down with him at the very start of all of this and sort of outlined what our sort of brief plan was. It was very small compared to what we are now. But he just said, yeah, absolutely, whatever you need me to do, let me know and I'll do it. He then sort of got Mike Haley, who's now at Munster, on board. And we spent a few, well, quite a few evenings in the end, with, just with those two, trying out podcasts that we weren't very good at. But they were great guys, and they got the whole of the sales team sort of on board with it. And then once, you know, the sale boys started talking about it, it sort of reached further. You know, we then started getting in touch with boys across the whole of the Prem rugby, really. And, you know, we jumped at the chance at getting involved with, you know, all of these players. And then, like I said before, you know, we've at the start of this season, we did a few Instagram takeovers of pre-season, which was quite nice to get a little insight into what...
Sam was one of them, wasn't he?
Sorry?
Well, Sam was one of the guys who took over.
Was one of them, yeah. So we did, I think it was at 8 different Premiership clubs. We saw, you know, a little bit of an Instagram takeover from each club. But, you know, Alex Lewington did one for Saris, and then 2 weeks later he came back to us and said, can I become an ambassador? So, you know, it just shows that they're sort of jumping at the chance of getting involved with us as well, getting involved with a good cause and raising awareness.
Yeah, one of those people that you mentioned, Rob, obviously, before was Brad Shields, and we saw the event a few weeks ago. I mean, that must have been amazing for, you know, Mark and Dave to be in that room, seeing all these names of all the Wasps. I think a lot of the Wasps players were there as well, but seeing someone who's, you know, played for England, he's played over in Super Rugby as well, you know, be part and being an essential part of this sort of an event for you guys.
He's quite a frightening specimen close up as well.
I think whoever did the social media tweet did a before and after picture, and if someone said, "Oh, Wasps new signing," I was like, "Who is that?" I couldn't work out who it was, and then obviously it took me a good minute to realise it was Brad. But that must have been such an amazing experience for you guys to see that.
What came through to me that day was the brilliant togetherness of the entire Wasps squad, who were all there having a coffee, jumping in, doing this, that and the other. You could have heard a pin drop when they were asking the questions that most of them he got wrong about himself. You look in through that gate. We've all been part of sports teams, and you know, we love rugby. That's why we're here, isn't it? And you at Talking Rugby Union, Chris, you get the privilege to speak to some of these people close up and personal. And those interviews are quite insightful for people who love the game. And I love the game. I'm a student of it. A B-minus student, I might hasten to add. But just to see what's going on at Wasps. The Premiership's been cancelled now, but that doesn't matter. The fact that they've come out of the mire, they've had a blooming awful start to a season. You can sense that togetherness. They are all big mates and they're supportive of each other. And that also hints at their mortality, their fallibility in terms of one injury and their career's over. And you get that sense when you're close up and personal with them. And as Dave said earlier, they've got to go out on the pitch and be a Goliath and put all those feelings to one side. And it's just that's mental toil is just incredible for me. But what a great bunch of lads they are. I mean, there's me. I'm in the middle. I'm a frustrated 10 at heart. And I'm talking to Jimmy Gopeth, who I think is a genius on the rugby field. And Lima Sopawanga, who is an All Black. And I'm like, and I'm telling them the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, give us a fiver story. And they're going, oh, yeah. And it's just brilliant. They're normal human beings and deeply, deeply humble, which is a joy, an absolute joy.
Yeah, and Dave, you mentioned before, you know, at the one stage you were with Loose Heads, it was, you know, you didn't know where it was going and you did think about throwing a towel in. So that must have been a really proud moment to see how far you've come, if you like, to see all those guys gathered in that one room for a great cause.
Oh, completely. I mean, as much as anything, it was a completely humbling moment. You know, obviously everyone had come to have a laugh and support Brad, but kind of the support we had for Loose Heads with everyone kind of covering us on social. You know, the guys on the day were putting a fair amount into sort of the charity bucket we cobbled together. Yeah, I think that was kind of a proper eye-opener for us and one of those moments where you just go, we've really got something here. gives you that kind of encouragement to make sure that we don't let it slip now that we've got it to this stage.
Yeah, and I would add though, Chris, and I think Dave and Rob would totally endorse this, that we'll never get complacent because we're the host of a tribe. That's our facility. But when you start, you know, I can remember when we sat down with Sam James in 2017 in Cafe Nero in Alderley Edge with the world's most flatulent dog, his, and none of us were brave enough to say, "Is that your dog?" And we just said, look, this is roughly the plan. Sam, do you fancy just joining us? And he just sat back and he said, whatever you need me, whatever you need is yours. Now, you multiply that then by the efforts that Rob's done. It's deeply humbling and we owe them the gratitude rather than the other way around.
Definitely. Definitely, Mark. And Rob, you mentioned obviously all those lists of Premiership stars before, you know, Sam James, Alex Livingston, all those Wasps lads, but it is also the female game which is rising at the moment. And you said Amber Reid, you know, was England international World Cup winner. She's now got on board because of, you know, you obviously know her through Bristol, but obviously seeing everything that's been going on social media. Nikki Cowell, obviously, Sale FC player, who we've been in contact with. We've done an interview with her towards the end of last year. So that must be pleasing as well, that it's not just the male game, because we always talk about the macho stigma behind people coming out and talking about the mental health in rugby, but it's the women's game that also want to promote that awareness as well.
Yeah, so yeah, mental health can hit anyone at any time. So, you know, like Mark was saying before, you know, we don't leave anyone behind. So, you know, getting as many people as possible from, you know, a range of different backgrounds is what we're all about. Amber Reid, obviously Bristol Bear. So that was quite nice getting our first Bristol Bears player on board. Obviously an England player as well. But you know, she quite brave of her to sort of open up on her own struggles recently. She went through a bit of a tough time with her injury. So you know, she opened up to us and said, "I'd love to help out." And you know, we want to be that platform where she can offer, you know, her support and her story to then potentially help others.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. And Dave, obviously you mentioned right at the top of the podcast about sort of the merchandise which has been sold sort of recently over the 18 months and over the Christmas period. And you did mention sort of the female range was going really well. We've seen Nikki and Amber modelling that. I mean, in terms of the money side of things, where does that go? Because Mark's mentioned it to me a number of times when we've had chats, but where does that money first and foremost go that you make from the wonderful merchandise that you guys create?
Yep, so there's two sides to it. One is ultimately we've got to cover our costs. So things like hosting the website, the actual cost of the products, things like that. So that's where the first bit of the money goes. Then whatever's kind of left, we use sort of the profits from that to donate to the foundation. Foundation is then kind of 100% of everything that goes into that goes towards anything that we deem relevant to helping with the campaign to tackle the stigma. So that might be sort of printing out posters to get out around rugby clubs. We're looking at the moment at putting together some content around how to kind of look after your mental health amongst kind of the COVID-19 issues. So we might look at kind of promoting that to make sure that we're getting it in front of as many people as possible. So ultimately what the aim is to kind of fund team mental health and the work they do, particularly with sort of their work in schools. So right, they've designed a program to teach kids of a primary school age basically how to deal with their emotions. So rather than telling them that anger is a bad emotion, it's teaching them that it's all right to feel angry, but it's the way that you deal with that. So they use sport as a method for teaching that. So one of kind of the lessons, they might have two teams, captain on each team, and they basically tell each captain to cheat during a game. And then kind of they take them back into the classroom and ask the rest of the kids how they felt about that. And obviously they're going to come back and frustrated, angry, and kind of talking them through their emotions, getting them to open up. The idea that you put in place these really positive things and, you know, positive ways of dealing with your emotions, and that will hopefully kind of carry through into later life. So rather than focusing on people who are kind of at that emergency level, we're trying to focus more at the bottom of the pyramid where we can help a broader range of people and kind of stop them getting to that point where they need to go to the NHS in the future, hopefully.
It's quite an important point, actually, you made there, Dave, because, you know, people may just see mental health as affecting, you know, people from a certain age, maybe in the teens and upwards, but you're actually looking right at the bottom of that age range. So that must be really important for you guys to hit that and keep driving on in terms of using that, going into schools and speaking to people.
No, very much so. And kind of there's all sorts of statistics around, you know, people who experience sort of a mental health issue at a young age, you know, become much more likely to go on and experience longer term issues as they go into adulthood. So, yeah, it's absolutely vital that we get to these people at kind of the earliest possible opportunity.
Yeah, Mark, I think Dave's probably answered my next question, really. I was going to say, what kind of drives you on? What kind of is your next steps moving forward with the Loose Heads? Because that's probably one, or just one point that keeps you guys going and motivated to continue this great work.
Well, we make a point. We've been practicing social isolation for quite a while because Rob's down in Bristol and Dave's over in Huddersfield, and I'm in Wimslow. So we get together weekly. I don't know if there's a human being on the planet who isn't a member of at least 5 WhatsApp groups. We've got our own WhatsApp group, and that's quite hot. And we're kicking about a load of things for 2020. It's not so much the lack of ideas. I think for us, it's a case of, we often felt that we should do a rugby one, then a mental health one and a rugby. And I think they've merged together splendidly, brilliantly. They've merged together because one is the other. Very personally, I knew that a million years ago, we've got some very good names, we've got some very big names. Rob mentioned Gareth Anscombe and Brad, but you know, there's Guy Thompson over in Leicester, fantastic. John Hardy, who's approached us recently, who's up at Newcastle. We've got a big reach. One of the things I added with my grey hair was I wanted the foundation to be something that stood apart from that somewhat. And I managed to convince my old playing mate, Sean Edwards. Our rugby career diverged at around about 17 years old. He went on to achieve some things and I went on to achieve other things. And he's a splendid ambassador. He's the patron of our foundation. And I've absolutely no doubt that had the Six Nations continued, France would have won it. Absolutely no doubt that next year they'll be fighting at the top because that's what he brings. He was a winner at the age of 15. I know that personally. I always said very personally that the one, and this is a personal thing, one of the guy I wanted to join our merry band of brothers and sisters and young and old was Jonathan Davis, the original Jonathan Davis. Rob just looked at me and said, "Oh, do you mean the centre for Wales?" No. I mean, the guy you'll never have seen play, who only got 26 caps for Wales. My boyhood hero, and I still have a childlike dream about rugby, that one day, you know, we'll have these people and we all sing the same mantra. We all do. We've all been members of the rugby clubs. We all herald the day when our mum and dad or brother and sister dragged us down to the rugby club and forced us to play. And then we go and we play. And we have a shower and then we go in the bar and we sing rubbish rugby songs and we congratulate ourselves and herald that day. And so be it. And if that looks after our mental health, fantastic. I think we can add a bit more substance to that. And I think we can help some people who are properly struggling along the way. And as Dave much more articulately than I said, the reason we're selling a t-shirt or a pin badge or a lady's pair of leggings is to fund that effort at the sharp end. And that's what we're there for. That's our business. That's our charitable pursuit. And that's what will keep us going.
Yeah, definitely. Nicely put, Mark. And just probably a final question to you all now, really, in terms of, and I might put you on the spot when I'm saying this, but obviously the great work you guys have done has not gone unnoticed. We've seen it, you know, on the BBC Rugby Union Weekly, as we mentioned before, all over social media. You've got all these fantastic people involved. But is there anything you'd like to see more happen in sport and in rugby to maybe kick on with this and keep this awareness and mental health improving and so people can come out and talk about it?
We had Gloucester with the Be Kind event a few weeks back. I think something like that that goes kind of either across the Premiership or across sort of all the top leagues across the world be a really good way of sort of helping to really shine a light on it. I know it's something the NFL are really good at doing with sort of Salute to Service, and they do like a pink game day for sort of breast cancer awareness, I think it is. So kind of more coordinated efforts like that would be brilliant. And then I think it's a case of just having more and more players opening up. I think if you can see kind of these elite level athletes coming out and saying, look, you know, on the field I might be fine, but when I come away from it, I am having a few issues. I think that will start to filter down to the amateur game and make it much easier for, you know, the guys you play with on a Saturday to turn to you at the end of a game and just say, look, can we have a word? Can we go for a beer? You know, so for me, that's kind of the key thing from now on.
Yeah, I think Rob, I think didn't Wass do a campaign over the weekend, I think Make the Call. I think it was Tom Cruise, obviously one of your ambassadors as well. So is that something you'd like to see more of, the clubs getting involved as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's more people talking about mental health, the better, really. And the more people that are educated about mental health, the better as well. You know, the RPA do a great job, but, you know, that's for the Premiership. We want to get the message to all clubs up and down the country, right into that sort of grassroots level. And, you know, we say that Loose Heads is for everyone. So, you know, follow the journey of us, ultimately help to tackle the stigma. You know, we're a platform that talks about mental health, but sort of, you know, amalgamates it with our love for rugby.
Definitely. And Mark, and I think you may have touched on it before, but anything you'd, you know, want to add from what Rob and David just said there?
Well, the whole reason I had this idea, having retired from playing, was to help what I predominantly thought would be gnarled old blokes with broken noses. And what's been quite humbling to see is the likes of Nikki Cowell, Catherine Crane, Amber Reid, the ladies' game. Very, very selfishly, once again, sorry for that. I met my wife playing rugby. We, you know, if it hasn't been for rugby, I wouldn't be married, wouldn't have three fantastic kids and all the rest of it. That women's game is a place where, just like blokes, we go and we feel comfortable and we feel at home and we feel at ease with our fellow woman and man. And actually, that was something I never thought would happen. So it's brilliant to see the amount of female followers we have, because this is a game for all of us.
Yeah, and that's quite a key point to finish on, Mark, because at the moment we're going through a tough time with coronavirus, but Lou says it isn't just about rugby. It's anyone who suffers with mental health problems. So please, please do get in touch with these guys. They're making so much brilliant work happen at the moment, and they're going to continue to do so, because this is an issue which is in the spotlight more than ever at the moment. And Lou said to just part of the reason why we, you know, we're getting to the bottom of people's problems. So it's a fantastic foundation. Please do get involved. Rob, I'll leave it up to you to give us the social medias and the websites so people can get involved with you guys.
So it's at Loose Heads with a Z, because we're really cool. It's www.looseheads.co.uk.
Great stuff. And this is just the first of the podcast we're going to be doing over the next sort of few months. So hopefully we'll be joined by some of the rugby stars of the world in the near future. But my thanks to Rob, Mark and Dave for kicking things off in style. And hopefully you can join us next time on this Loose Head podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union. Cheers for listening.